flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on Inside Black and Gold, down at Radio Row. Just had that interview with Brian Brzee. Steve, okay, what was your impression of Brian? You know, what was your impression of Brian's season? What are your thoughts on Brian going into year 3?
Definitely thought he took a nice step forward year 2 for him. Saw an uptick in that, you know, pressures on quarterbacks, getting the sacks. The one thing he still definitely needs to work on, though, is being more of a force in the run game. But overall, definitely a decent year 2 for Brzee. And just like what he brings to the team in with that pass rush up the middle, because, you know, getting that into the quarterback's face right up the gut is so vital and crucial. I just feel like the Saints don't have much of that other than Brzee in the middle of that D-line, at least.
Yeah, he's a different kind of athlete at the defensive tackle spot than they've had in a long time, right? And I think there's something to be said for that. So, you know, I like what he's able to do. I need to pair him with a space-eating, big-bodied defensive tackle. I need to pair him with a tree stump that can take double teams, that can create space for him and other pass rushers to get up the field. I don't think they have that right now. Like, I like Colin Saunders as a depth piece. I don't think he is a starting defensive tackle.
Agree, totally.
And so that's where I'm looking in the draft, whether it's the first pick, the second pick. Like, I like what I have in Brian Brzee. I know that he is not an elite all-around defensive tackle, but he is an elite pass-rushing defensive tackle, and I think he can get better in the run game. But I don't think that you can look at him and say, like, he can be that all-pro, all-around defensive tackle. I need to pair him with somebody, and that pairing can be elite.
Yeah.
But I need to give him help on the interior, and I can't sit him in there and ask him to play the run constantly, because he's so good at getting after the quarterback. I need to be able to use that. And I think, again, like we talked about in the first segment, a lot of that's going to come down to who's your defensive coordinator? What's your defense? What are you doing in that scheme? And how does that allow Brian to do that? But I do think, you know, year 2, you're talking – you know, approaching double-digit sacks. I know he didn't get there. I'm a fan of Brian. I think he's going to be a really good player.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, if you can get another DT to pair up with him, and the good thing with this draft, I keep hearing it, is stock full, one of the best drafts in a while for defensive tackles, and hopefully the Saints can find themselves a space eater.
Yeah, and we talked about Deion Walker, like 6'7", 340. Like, you can find guys like that. Will they be ready to start immediately? Probably not. You'd probably have to go and try to find a guy in the first round if you want him to start immediately. But, you know, I'm okay with developing a guy. I just need to continue to stock up that position. And that's something the Saints are going to do. Speaking of, you know, okay, what are the Saints going to do? Kellen Moore.
I think it's pretty safe to say, too, with Kellen, that he is going to be the Saints quarterback, barring any unforeseen...
Head coach.
Yeah, head coach. Sorry, what did I say?
He said quarterback.
Quarterback, wow. He's going to be the Saints head coach, barring any unforeseen issue where after the Super Bowl he goes, nah, I'm going to stay in Philly, because if the Saints were going to hire someone else, they would have done so by now.
Yeah, no, there's no question. There's no question. And here's everything Kellen had to say when he was asked directly about the head coaching interview. At least when I was there, he spoke for an hour. I was not there for the whole hour, but you know, I was there for about 15 minutes talking with him. And this is what he said on that, the coaching search in general.
It's obviously been a good process. You know, you have an opportunity to go through these different processes, and you know, having an opportunity to meet with Mickey and their leadership group has been great. And you know, it's set up in a way that allows us to focus on this game, and then we'll see what happens after that.
When you say the process is set up to allow you to focus on this game, can you explain like how that is? Because you know, fans always worry about.
Yeah. No, it's pure focus on this. You don't have to worry about a single thing except for this this opportunity.
You kind of sell yourself on in the meetings with.
Again, it was just a great opportunity to meet the leadership group from Mickey and all the rest of the leadership group in New Orleans. You know, it's a great group. It's a group that really cares about the team, cares about football. Had great conversations with those guys, and we'll see where it takes us. Again, I think you know, there's a lot of good pieces. We came down here, we had a really good battle, you know, week three, and it was a challenge, and we were fortunate to come out here with a win. And so, you know, every time you come down here, it seems to be a challenge, you know, each and every time we've come down here and played.
All right, yeah, and so, you know, his answer to that was similar to Mike Kafka, right, in that, you know, he talked for 2 minutes probably in terms of just directly addressing the coaching search. Didn't really say anything, you know, and... I didn't think that he sounded quite as head coach-like as a Kafka did. I think that's something he'll have to develop, is kind of that coach voice, if you will. Like, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but like when I was listening to him talk, I was very aware that I was listening to a coordinator talk. It didn't strike me as head coach energy. And, you know, whatever that means to you, it is something. I just think like, okay, one of the reasons Sean Payton was able to survive, you know, those 7-9 seasons, or even like the year after they went to the NFC Championship, you know, obviously things kind of fell off a cliff a little bit, dialed it back in, got into the Super Bowl. Like, when, even in down seasons, Sean Payton commanded a room. Sean Payton commanded respect, and, you know, you kind of approached him in a certain way. I just think that's not what it's going to be like for Kellen, at least not early on. And so I'm curious how quickly people would turn on him if things didn't go well. Because I just don't. I think that his traits. He's a football brain, right? And that's great when things are going well. When things are going poorly, and you're not great with the media, and you're not great kind of at communicating in that kind of forceful manner to command respect. It's really easy to kind of pile on somebody. And that's what happened to Dennis Allen.
I was going
to
say, that's where I felt one area definitely Dennis was lacking, in just being that.
Yeah.
That leader in front of a room.
Yeah, and we'll see how that goes. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, I'm hoping with Kellen, like you said, maybe doesn't sound like a head coach right now. Things have to be dialed back a bit because of the NFL rules, yeah. Too, and he can't really be himself either, you know, when trying to explain the situation of being interviewed for this head coaching spot. I think it was pretty telling, too, when you heard Aaron Glenn get that head coaching job with the Jets, and his introductory press conference, and like, bam, he came out of a cannon right away. And I don't know if he was really necessarily like that as a defensive coordinator with interviews with the media.
I mean, I think he probably was. You just don't see interviews with defensive coordinators all that often. Like, how many times do you watch the defensive? How many times have you seen Vic Fangio talk? Right. But I think that's a good example. Like, when you hear Aaron Glenn talk, that is a head coach in terms of at least like the vibes you get from him are head coach vibes, head coach energy. I don't feel that way about Ben Johnson. I think Ben Johnson is an awkward dude. And if things go poorly in Chicago, he's going to have a hard time. Now, he is set up for success in Chicago in a way that Kellen Moore will never be set up for success in New Orleans, at least not to start. So, you know, I think it's more likely that he never has to deal with that end of it because the Bears just win games. They have the quarterback. They have all these pieces. They have the star wide receivers. And, you know, you're gonna be able to attract free agents because of that. And, you know, because of that alone, he's going to have a much easier time. I just think, you know, we're going to have to accept a level of growth from Kellen that I don't know if people are ready to do. I think he's going to be the head coach.
Right.
I do think he's going to be the head coach. I just, you know, I think people are in for kind of a rude awakening if they think that if this is the next Sean Payton. And I do think that a lot of people are approaching it that way of like, this is going to work out because it's the same thing they did with Sean Payton. These are two very different people.
Absolutely.
Now, they were both quarterbacks. They both kind of had football backgrounds, right? Like, they both came up through the Cowboys system. They both, you know, they have a lot of traits in common, but personality is not one of them. And, you know, there's a few other... one thing that Kellen was asked about was the Saints scandal. I don't know if scandal is the word. It's reporting on the Archdiocese situation and the PR nightmare that they have created for themselves in terms of not just staying out of it completely. But Kellen did stay out of it completely, and this is what he said.
I'm not aware. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything.
You know, I thought that was an interesting answer because he said, like, he kind of caught in between, like, I don't know about it and I don't have anything to say about it. And he started saying, like, I don't really know about it at all, but he clearly does. And he didn't want to lie, but then he was like, I just want to shut this down entirely. So he kind of just put it that way. I don't think that's, you know, we kind of talked about this on Monday. I don't think that's going to end up being the driving force one way or the other. I don't. Whether it's something people talk about and continues to develop at a larger level, I don't know. But I think if Kellen Moore wants to be a head coach in the NFL, that's not going to be what forces him to step back. Now, the Eagles could drop a bag on his head and talk him out of it. Right. You know, he could have people close to him saying, like, this isn't the situation you want to get into. I don't know. I don't get the impression that that's going to be the deciding factor.
No, I don't think that the off-the-field scandal, like you said, if you want to call it that, is going to be an issue when hiring Moore. It is interesting, though, to, you know, get an idea of what he thinks might be going on here, though, behind closed doors, you could say. It's a little bit of a concerning situation, possibly, but that coupled with maybe some of the salary cap issues maybe does deter him. I don't know.
You could see. I mean, it's a question. We're not getting the answers right now.
No, right.
And, you know,
we'll have to wait till Monday.
Yeah, I did think, you know, I asked him about, or he was asked about that game against Derek Carr when they played in college, and this is what he said about that.
Derek, yes, Derek and I played against each other one year, my senior year, his sophomore year. I've known Derek for a long time. Tons of respect for him as a quarterback in this league. He's had a tremendous career and done a lot of really good things.
I'm sure you've had that happen, but like, that you could be coaching.
Yeah, it's a unique aspect. Obviously, I was fortunate to be able to get into coaching fairly young. My first time coordinating in Dallas, you know, half the room was guys that I was teammates with 2 years before. And so, you know, I was teammates with Dak, teammates with Witten, a lot of the receivers, a lot of the running back Zeke. And so, you know, it's a unique aspect of my journey, but I've been fortunate to be around some great people.
Yeah, and, you know, I posted that quote on Twitter, and it's one of those situations where everyone's going to look at it and try to be like, oh, interpret it in the way that they want to interpret it. They're like, oh, he hates Derek Carr. He loves Derek Carr. I think that's it's close to a non-answer, a no comment as you can get in that sense. I do think that it's an interesting scenario that, you know, much like Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott, like, they know each other as players.
Right.
Not just as head coach quarterback. I mean, Kellen Moore is only 2 years older than Derek Carr. Like, they are basically contemporaries at the position. But as we talked about on Monday, Kellen Moore, despite being 36 years old, has been around coaching forever. He's been an offensive coordinator for 6 years in the NFL. He played 8 years ago, right? Like, he was a player in the NFL. I remember watching him as a player in the NFL. He went from a Cowboys quarterback to a Cowboys quarterbacks coach in one offseason. 2 years later, he's the offensive coordinator. Yeah. So despite the young age, it's not a situation where you know, you're just hiring this neophyte who you don't know what he's going to do. Like, he is very, it's very well documented how he works with quarterbacks, how he works with coaches and assistants, multiple different systems, multiple schemes. And I think that's going to be a big part in how he's able to adapt to the Saints.
That was something you mentioned right there with Moore going from quarterbacks to quarterbacks coach, and then just 1 year as a quarterbacks coach, and boom, he's promoted to offensive coordinator right away. That, to me, says a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, his ability to coach Dak Prescott,
right,
a guy who he knows very well and is not that much younger than him, I think is a good sign, because whoever you bring in is going to have to figure out that quarterback room, and whether it's Derek Carr or somebody else, I need someone to develop a quarterback, because the Saints have done a lot of things over the last 20 years. One of those things is not developing a quarterback. They've never developed a quarterback.
With Kellen Moore, I do appreciate, you know, some of the Eagles players, you've heard, you know, some comments about him. You've heard offensive genius, and you've heard also the term magician. And that, to me, interesting stuff. Obviously, what, you know, of course they're going to pump up the guy. I don't think anybody really wants him to leave. Just hoping that when he is introduced here, I do feel like it is going to happen. And that inevitable to coming to New Orleans is a foregone conclusion for Moore, that at least he says Hoodat a lot better than Liam Cohen said Duval.
Duval.
Yeah, get Hoodat a lot better than that, please.
That was weird. I can't get that out of my head. He looks,
well,
like
people have been playing on a loop too.
I think he might be, in like Blade Runner, they have like the replicants or whatever. Yeah. It's like, he's not a real, like, I think he might be one of those. Like, I think he may be a synthetic person. We'll find out. Duval.
Well, now he's an ongoing meme.
I've always thought Duval was a terrible chant to begin with, so it's partially because of that. But you would think he would have practiced a little bit.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I hope if whoever takes a Saints head coaching job is at least in the mirror and been like, who dat? Who dat say they're going to beat them Saints?
Who dat?
But again, Kellen is awkward, so I don't want to get my hopes up too high. That said, I like Kellen. I'm not trying to trash Kellen.
Son of a coach, so you know he's been there, done that too.
Yeah, I mean, grew up around coaching.
Right.
Was in a ton of college games, won a ton of college games. I think it was 6 years in the NFL with multiple teams. So, yeah, I don't want it to come out like I'm trashing Kellen Moore. I just think if you're pro Kellen Moore, you also need to be pro time on task for him as a head coach. Because I think it's going to take time for him to get comfortable in that position. All this said, Darren Rizzi has still not accepted the Broncos special teams coordinator job. He still thinks he has a chance at this head coaching job.
I think he knows, too, anything can happen in the last minute.
Yeah. There's the only reason he's still hanging around,
right,
is that he thinks he can still get this job. And, you know, I've seen people say, like, I don't care what the players think. If you get to a point where Kellen Moore turns you down, that's going to be the most important thing about Darren Rizzi, is he's going to get every player in that room on his side immediately, right? And that's because the only way you'd come out of this positively is they need to go win games. And I think he at least gives you a chance to do that. Now, how it looks optically, how the Saints kind of approach that and how they spin that, whole nother question. But if you do end up on Rizzi, you at least know that Alvin Kamara, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, all these guys, Blake Groupie definitely, are going to be on his side. And, you know, if they lose games, it won't matter. And he might only get a year on the job if that's the case. But I don't know. There are worse things than to have the locker room behind you.
No, we've talked about this before, too, the fact that Cam Jordan and Alvin Kamara have definitely been both very vocal about their support for Rizzi. And I get it.
No question. And we haven't seen Alvin. I expect to see Alvin wandering around at some point. We'll find out.
I saw some kind of promotional thing where he's involved with GQ.
Yeah, he's doing like the Love Actually, like, sign things. I mean,
right, yeah.
But hey, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Maybe you can get him on as a NASCAR analyst.
That's true. He did say he was going to be in Africa, so I don't know. Maybe he's got better things to do.
I know Cam was planning a vacation too, but I saw him walking around.
Cam is too much of a ham to not be around
for this
Super
right
Bowl week. He can't help himself. But all right, you got anything else? You ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, We got a couple more interviews lined up today. I'm going to try to drop kind of like a interview pod at the end of the week, which is just, you know, all these interviews you've been getting, just kind of throw them at you, so that, you know, we got it. We got it.
Right.
We got the job done. Right?
I hope so.
Yeah. All right. Who dat? Go Saints. Be easy, y'all. This is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Gell. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that. Otherwise,
peace. Who dat?